This is The Glossary, an Eden Project podcast, where we define terms that help people stay out of crazy land in their walk with Christ. I'm Nathan.
And I'm Karen, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
We're back this week with John Abel.
Hello.
Hello.
I mean, hi.
Big Bad John. I mean, what's up? From last week, Big Old John.
And Shane Everett.
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, he's here.
Here with Johnny Appleseed, spreading the seeds of truth.
And Shane Bernard.
Howdy, y'all. Howdy.
Yeah, thanks for being back, fellas. We appreciate it. So, hey, we talked last week just about what is worship and really what role does singing and music and that specific expression of the arts play in us corporately coming together and ascribing worth to God. But I'd love for you guys to just chat for a little bit. How do you guys actively avoid some of the common pitfalls worship pastors a lot of times can fall into? How do you keep your heart fresh? How do you kind of stay before the glory of God so that coming and singing is not just like, what do y'all call it? The never ending thing of Sunday. Like it keeps repeating over and over again. Mm-hmm. There's a danger there of just monotony. Mm-hmm. And you guys are all over the country singing in different places and all that kind of stuff. So talk to us about how you personally keep that fresh.
Yeah. Sundays are faithful. They're always coming, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think anybody could answer this with whatever job you have, right? I mean, how do you keep anything fresh? I mean, obviously there's just a good rhythm of like practically having a couple of days off every week, right? Yep. Just to unwind and spend time with people close to you, with family and community and all that. Having fun, you know, there's a element in life to saying, you know, what brings you joy when you go do it? Yeah. For me, it's mountain biking. I love that. And so I've got a son who's 12 and who's gotten into mountain biking with me. And
We live in Dallas, right?
Man, I know. Hey, when I moved here from California in the Bay Area, I was so bummed because I thought it was just all flat, but there are some actually
there
good
are
trails.
Some hills. Yeah. You're right.
Another podcast.
You got to go
another
find
time.
Them. Yeah.
So, you know, I love cooking. I love, you know, there's just certain things that I enjoy doing that bring me joy, bring me life. Spiritually, it's being in the Word. It's always having something that I'm engaged in studying. I just went through this study of the Old Testament recently in this class here at our church, and it was amazing to see how everything from the creation to when Jesus came, that all of that is connected, and it's all one narrative, one story, one narrative. I know that's Captain Obvious, but it's just awesome to be reminded of those things and to keep me engaged, and especially that is fuel for me to keep things fresh when I go lead, because I'm not leading out of, oh, well, it's just rinse and repeat four songs and a transition and a welcome, you know, and then the guy, you know, the pastor comes up and preaches and then I do a closing song. What I'm doing today is a part of this greater narrative. Yeah. And so staying in the Word and studying from beginning to where we are now, you know, New Testament and Revelation and the future is key for me to stay engaged, my heart fresh.
Man, I come back to this a lot and I say it a lot because it's been super helpful for me. It's a Woody Allen quote, but it's just like, no, the heart wants what it's fed. And so I think we try to have a routine and balanced diet on the things that are true. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that's really true is the Word, you know? And so like going back to that objective truth, we have some flowers in our backyard that are in these pots. And man, I've just been thinking about these flowers. I sat on my back porch in the morning and these flowers, if they don't get water the night before, they're immediately wilting. The next day.
Yeah.
Like it's just been so helpful to see these stupid flowers. You know what I mean? Like the Lord's been speaking to me through these flowers.
Yeah.
Because if it goes 2 days and these flowers don't get, I mean, they almost can't be saved.
Yeah, it's a constant reminder.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just been super helpful. And now that it cooled off a little bit the last 2 days, they weren't as wilted.
Yeah.
I think there's seasons in life where the heat of our circumstance or the heat of the world, the hotter it gets, the more we need the Word. Mm-hmm. It's so much clearer. And then there's other times where it's cooler. Not that we don't need it. You still have to have the water.
Yeah.
But like when the heat comes, which is, we live a pretty hot life.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Like we're just doing a lot. Mm-hmm. And so in that, I want to be reminded that, man, I'm just like those flowers and I'm going to wilt. It's just been a good reminder in this season. And I love the thought of, I am going to die if I'm not fighting the flesh. It's Romans 7. It's fight the flesh, fight the flesh, fight the flesh. And the way we fight the flesh is we fill the tank with truth and asking the Lord to help, being dependent, being dependent on getting that water. Those flowers are dependent upon me to put water on them. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
And I'm dependent on the Lord to pour the water on me. And so I just, he has to. And so I'm going to go and ask him. I'm going to read his word and ask him to put water on me. It's hot out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it affects every part of my life, every part, with my kids, with my wife, with my friends, with my job, with everything is utterly dependent upon getting that water.
Yeah.
If not, man, I am limp and dying. So that's just where I've been. Man, Lord, give me the strength to get up every day and remember my dependence on the water of life. Shane talked about it last week. I mean, broken cistern that holds no water.
Yeah.
I'm a broken cistern that holds no water. Totally. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I've got to be tapped into the source of living water. So we won't hunger, we won't thirst, and we won't look to other things to fill the cup.
Just get yourself a stupid flower.
Just get some flowers, man.
I'm really good at killing flowers.
If by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. I think that's the verse. By the Spirit, man, that's the key. I would say one that, just so everybody knows, we could all use a great conference on how to lead yourself. Take care. I mean, I'm just not good at that. Just to throw that out there.
Yep.
I mean, I definitely have some thoughts, and this is like a daily fight to love God. Something that I do regularly is I make a list on the things that stir my affections for Jesus, and I try to get really practical, and I really try to spend time on it. And here's the things that don't. So I'm often deleting my Instagram app, and I don't really watch TV unless it's Daniel Tiger.
Oh, Roger that.
Sadly. you know, and there's certain things that I know. I wish it wasn't like that, but I know that those things, if I just am honest with them, here's the kinds of water that I'm drinking, and here's what that water causes me to worship. And so I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that like that. I want to do things that help me love him. And so this has been said a couple times, but community is a huge deal for me in my life. And that is that thing that, how is it said? Forgiveness comes through faith, Jesus, but healing comes through confession. Mm-hmm. James chapter 2, right?
Five, 516.
And there's just this huge, massive promise. If you confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, you'll be healed. And so just a healthy, you know, diet of confession and repentance, as long as it is today, lest, help me with this, guys.
So you don't fall into the deceitfulness of our sin.
Yep. Hebrews 3. You know, and that's just, I love the everydayness of that. That's almost like if we're not encouraging each other day after day, then you can go, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Man, I was isolated for a long time. I feel like that was just, I came from a family of isolation. You don't talk about your heart. And then that was my tendency going into being a believer. That's why I think one of the reasons why there's two Shanes is God cares about our hearts. He's gracious to us. And it doesn't feel good. I mean, iron bumping against iron is just not, doesn't feel good. Doesn't look good. Yeah. But it's such a gracious thing. So I would just say those couple things of like a consistent diagnostic of here's the things in my life that I'm currently doing or I'm not currently doing that just help me love God. And here are the things, and I want community to come into this conversation that help me not love God. And then have the courage to walk that out.
Yeah.
And lots of times as leaders in ministry, you know, going back to our last episode, if we see ourselves rightly, that we aren't the end all be all, we aren't the man. We're pointing to the man.
Yeah, come on.
And it's easier to confess our sin. And a lot of us will never confess our sin because we don't want to get fired. I mean, we just can't do it. It's too risky.
It's fear.
It's too costly.
Yeah.
And we're just here to say that decision to not do that is too costly. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's worth it to walk in the light.
Yeah.
I mean, you will, right?
Yeah.
You will.
Yeah.
It's a promise.
Yeah. Depends on when and how.
Yes. Yes. But man, we're just good. And especially our artsy people are really good at hiding. Mm-hmm. That's the strongest voice of the enemy in my life. Shane, you can hide that. Mm. You hid that for years. No, it's not a big deal. You were fine. Mm-hmm. And so, man, live in the light. As hard as that seems, I know that you're listening to this. That is impossible without God's help.
Yep.
Can I share a verse on that? In 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, right? If we, with our lips, say, oh, we're believers, we're followers of Jesus, we go to this church, we go to that church, we're worship leaders.
Yeah, God and I are good.
Yeah. Yeah. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Mm. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. I love how it goes horizontal there, yeah. Yeah. Right? So that's the community aspect that we've been talking about a minute ago. And then the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Mm-hmm. Oh, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to be clean and pure? And
I'd rather walk in that and just work at Starbucks or Chipotle.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I would agree.
And totally. Just live in the freedom of that.
Yeah.
And the reality is, John, you've done a really good job of leading our church in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a lot of sin to confess.
No, I'm serious. Like, I mean, that's been a big part of watching you.
Yeah.
Not be afraid.
Yeah, it's good.
To confess your sin. Guys, I'm jumping into Regen. Who's going to come in with me? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you can do that? Mm. Like, you're still here?
I know. Yeah.
You know, it's just the body of Christ, man. It's like, we shouldn't be surprised at our sin. And so we do pray that you listening out there, that God gives you the courage and the faith to just follow him, whatever that means, just to follow him. What does it matter if you gain the whole world, including your job, if you lose your soul?
Yeah.
And you die in the dark, you know, and God's faithful. Like, he will love you enough to crush you.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of time. And so just to walk through the grace channels that he's given us, you know, community, confession, repentance, all just grace. It's just, those are means of grace that he's given for us to take advantage of. So
there's two guys that I'm thinking of right now, and I've been reading both of them lately. Both of them are 16th century dudes. One was in Spain and one was in France. But John of the Cross is a Carmelite dude who wrote a book called The Dark Night of the Soul, which is like an epic title, you know. But he describes people who are reticent or hesitate to confess their sin. And he kind of juxtaposes those people with people who freely confess their inability, their inadequacy, where they fall short. And the difference between those two people, like you said earlier, is one of them has a sufficient or a more sufficient view of who God is, and the other one doesn't really have a clue. And the one who doesn't have a clue is the one who's constantly trying to protect himself. He's constantly trying to cover and hide like Adam did in the garden. He's trying to manage things, right? And the one who has gone further along in the spiritual life has gained a more accurate picture of who God is. And he doesn't just cognitively assent to the fact that God is love. God is love becomes his experience. And when God is love becomes your experience, confession just flows. Because you're in a secure environment where you know you're not going to be taken out. You know you're secure. And far from being a thing that freaks you out or scares you or keeps you awake at night, it's just the means of grace that God has given to agree with him so that his spirit can continue the work of cleansing in our lives. So that's one guy. Another guy who I think exemplified that really well was a cook in a French monastery. His name was Brother Lawrence. And he wrote a little book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And if you read that book, which I highly encourage you to do, you'll see all throughout it, the thing that permeated his entire life was this dude came to know and understand and experience on a moment by moment basis the depth of God's love for him. Like, God is love was not something that every once in a while he had an epiphany. God is love was like breathing for him. And it's funny to see him talk about confession because he does it immediately. Mm-hmm. And then instead of wallowing in guilt and shame, he literally says this. He's like, as soon as I become aware of a shortcoming, I confess it to God, I get up and I move on. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is that simple, you know, because he's secure in God's love. And Shane B, you said it earlier, you're like, hey, you have to have God's help for this. And what I would say is the Galatians passage I was thinking about earlier, E, was if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walking in the presence of God in step with the Spirit is literally the fuel that sin hits and bounces off of.
It's like you can't, a greater affection. It's always a greater affection.
Mm-hmm. It's not that you like white knuckle it and fight mm-hmm. it. Discipleship is not about trying harder.
Yeah.
Discipleship is about surrender. Mm-hmm. And you only surrender when you come to the point where you see the depth of the love of God.
Yeah. When you see that, man, this road leads to more joy.
Yeah.
Than this road.
Freedom. You know, it's sometimes like, that takes a dark night of the soul.
Yeah, it totally does.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. It does, man. Yep. Yeah. And I love that thought too, like just to piggyback off of that. Like I love my little kid, Emma, is crazy. She's a maniac. Yeah. She's just like in her core, just rebellious. I just love her, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I just love her.
Yeah.
And like,
you're a daddy.
I'm a daddy.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I've been like putting myself up in the same light. So she is not wise. You know what I mean?
What?
She is not a wise person.
Yeah, yeah.
And like the amount of wisdom that I've attained versus the amount of wisdom she's attained mm-hmm. in her 6 years of existence
yeah.
is a pretty big gap.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a pretty big gap. And I love her and I want good things for her. And I discipline her when I need to discipline her, but most of the time we're in good standing.
Yeah.
The amount of wisdom in the Lord's mind versus the wisdom that's in my mind is so infinitely, expansively larger than my wisdom and Emma's wisdom. Mm-hmm. To think about the fact that he sees me with a greater affection than I even have for Emma. I feel like the Lord to us, his children, mm-hmm. is similar in that. It's just like we think we can out-sin or out-do or out-be on a positive and a negative side. Mm-hmm. He needs us.
Yeah, we can earn it. Or,
he could never. Mm-hmm. So these are the two ends of the spectrum. And there's days that I feel like he needs me.
Yeah.
And then there's days that I feel like there's no way he could love me.
Yeah.
But like in his infinite wisdom as his child, as his, just like you said in the podcast last week, his blood cover, he has wrapped us in his blood, in the righteousness of Christ, that we are in Christ. He cannot reject himself if we are in him. Confession is something that should be freeing. Mm. It takes something divine to make us feel like we're children. Because mm-hmm. we can't, because inside we think we're wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we think we're like, man, well, you know, I'm going to reason myself out of this or into this.
The whole confession aspect of the spiritual life is so critical because it keeps us where we belong. Yeah. You know, I mean, just in the last 24 hours, I've had to confess to my 6-year-old son and to my wife, and both of them were merited. Like, I needed to confess sin against them. Mm. I mean, it could have been easy to be like, whatever, wasn't that big of a deal,
yeah.
You know, but just that discipline of going before them. And, hey, son, you know, last night when I spoke harshly with you and it mm-hmm. scared you, how did that make you feel? You know, hearing him unpack that. And then just saying, like, hey, you know what? Jesus has called me to be better than that. And with his help, I'm going to be. Will you please forgive me? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, that's not just good for Nate. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really good for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To, you know, do something similar with my wife and to receive forgiveness from them and to receive it. They become the hands and feet of Jesus in that mm-hmm. moment to minister the gospel to me as somebody who's placed myself into a position of humility, which is where I should be all the time.
Yeah.
But it's funny because we're doing this podcast, and John, I'll give you the last word on this, but we're doing this podcast on worship, and really what we're talking about is just the spiritual life.
Absolutely.
You know, how do you walk in step with the Spirit? And it's just with you guys, one of the most natural expressions that plays itself out in y'all's lives consistently because of the way God's gifted you and the opportunities that you've stewarded. You just happen to have a microphone or a guitar or, you know, stand mm-hmm. on a stage. Mm-hmm. So John, I'll just pass it over to you. And what are just some final thoughts? If you're like, hey, I'd like everybody to know this, whether it's something that goes through your mind while you're up there or when you're not up there or whatever it is, you got the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's much that needs to still be said that I can really add to all that. I think you nailed it. And then the last thing you said was the gift of music is that it is just that. It's a means to the end. It is a tool that God's given us to serve with. But as a leader in the church, that's not who I am.
Yeah.
I've been given that responsibility as an absolute privilege mm-hmm. to lead the church in the small ways that I do. But if I'm not following Jesus in my real life,
yeah.
outside of the stage time that I get in front of people and say the right things, right? Hopefully that the things that I say or sing is coming from an authentic place. And so I think we talked a lot about just being in community. Mm-hmm. That is huge. Yeah. And I travel sometimes to go and lead at other places or go speak to other worship teams or churches regarding worship related things. And I'm amazed at the gap there where people just don't understand that the mm-hmm. focus is still the music. The focus mm-hmm. is still wearing the right stuff and sounding the right way and the right guitar and the right mm-hmm. sound equipment and the, you know, fill in the blank. And it's just not at all. And yeah. so I would rather be a poor man working as a plumber versus being a very rich in the world ways person who gets up in front of people and sing known. Songs. It yep. is known. Yeah. Yep. And so I think it is dying to all of that. Mm. I went through a process in my life where that idea that it was kind of about me, mm-hmm. you know, and God gave me these gifts to have a real successful music career.
Yeah.
And then, God in his mercy allowed an accident to happen in my life where he brought my heart back to him. Mm. To where this is, it became again, once again, where it should be. Music was in its right place.
Yeah.
And I've got to fight for that every day. It's mm-hmm. not just that one experience happened and now I'm good forever. I know that that's a tool, just a gift, and it has a purpose. But the end to those means is Jesus and glorifying yeah. him. And that takes work. That takes a lot of hard conversations mm-hmm. with people that you hurt or people that you need to be in the light with, like people that I lead with on my team. I regularly confess to them because I don't want to lead with people that don't truly fully know me.
Yep.
And that brings life to me and fellowship and all the things that we want. And that's what makes it fun is the mm-hmm. pressure's off mm-hmm. for me to be somebody I'm not. And when I'm the broken man that I am, dependent on the blood of Jesus, I can be free and, yep. and glorify him in my job, whether that's leading worship or working at Home Depot. It yep. doesn't matter.
Yep.
I'm free in Christ. That's what matters.
Amen, brother. John, thanks for your time, man. Man. Really appreciate it.
Fun to be with you, brother.
Yes. Appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Go a couple of octaves up for it. I love it.
Oh. You've been listening to The Glossary. If you like what you heard, subscribe, tell your friends, give us a rating. If you have questions, email us at podcast@edenteam.org. If you want to know more about our organization, visit our website at theedenproject.com. Lastly, check out our other podcasts. Thanks for joining us, and remember, God loves you. Bye.
Peace.